Good morning. What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day to celebrate the gifts and the blessings of Almighty God. As we come on this fourth Sunday of Lent, may the presence of Christ rest upon our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, and may God continue to shape us into that person that God desires for us to be. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Good morning. We'd like to offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, and especially those who are visiting with us. If you are visiting with us today, please be sure to take a welcome packet from the shepherd's crook near the entrance to the sanctuary. As I'm sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad in each pew and pass it to others in your pew, finally returning it toward the center aisle. If you notice that someone who normally sits near you is missing this morning, please give them a call this week and let them know that they were missed. You may write any prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders and place them in the holders at the ends of the pews so that our ushers can bring them to the pastor before the joys and concerns. And now I'd like to share with you all some special announcements and the mission and ministry and the work of our church. The next women's book study is a book by Max Lucado called Before Amen, and that begins on March 25th at 7 p.m. up in the youth room, and the study will last at least 4 weeks. And today's the day for a soup luncheon. Join us for soup, sandwiches, and cake after this service today. Also, newsletter articles for the April newsletter are due in the office by Sunday, March 22nd. That's next Sunday. All ages are invited to the annual Easter egg hunt on Palm Sunday. That's on March 29th, 9:30 to 10:30, starting in the elementary department. All ages are welcome. Join us. And also the Easter baskets, please check out the poster in the narthex and take a few post-it notes to help us fill Easter baskets for local families. Also, Easter flower orders are due today. All these announcements can be found in our bulletin today. Diane has a couple of special announcements.
Top of the morning to you. I am so glad that spring is close, and because it's not only allowing the green grass to grow, but it looks like that the seeds of our congregation are growing too, because there are more of you here. That's wonderful. For those of you who have been wintering elsewhere, especially, remember that the Living Last Supper is the Tuesday and Thursday of Holy Week, so it's coming up in just a couple weeks. There are some posters and there are posters on the table. There are pocket posters on the table, and I have more if those run out. And there are also about a dozen yard signs left. So feel free to take one, ask permission, and put it up where people can see it so we can get a good crowd here. There will be a reception on Tuesday, and we're going to be needing some cakes or cookies, or I think cookies mainly, for that. So if you are able to do that, you can see me, and I will make sure it gets to the right person. Now, okay, I'm going to be Irish now. The Sunday after Easter, we continue our celebration of Easter with Holy Humor Sunday, and we're asking you all to wear a hat. It's Holy Humor Hat Day. It can be a bought hat, or it can be a homemade hat, something to wear on your head. After the second service, we will continue our celebration with a lunch, a Holy Humor luncheon. We ask that you bring a casserole of your own choosing or a dish to pass for 10 to 12 people. And it's a Holy Humor dish. Now, if you can't be creative enough to make it seem funny on its own, you can give it a funny name. And we're going to have some cards there so you can name what you brought. It needs to be edible. Just saying. Okay. But we hope that you'll join us for Holy Humor Sunday because it's become a really, really good time. Oh, and at the luncheon, we're going to have a fashion show of all the hats.
Sorry, I didn't warn you. Good morning. Normal life of church type stuff. We still are in need of choir members, sound techs, worship hosts, ushers. If you want to join the choir, you can see Diane. If you want to join up with the sound team, you can see Josh. If you want to join us as worship leaders, you can see Tracy. If at any time you don't remember who to go see about joining any of these, you can see Dave or myself, and we'll get you to the right people. We also need that same help, not just for this service, but for the early service. And trust me, when I was growing up, I thought that if you went to late service, there was some unwritten rule that you didn't go to early service, or vice versa. It doesn't hurt. And I've survived doing it, so I'm sure you could. So if you could volunteer some time and just a little bit of yourself, it doesn't require much training. There's not much to it. If you can read, you could do this job. If you can stand up there and open your mouth and make a sound, you can sing. And if you can push buttons, you can do the sound system. Ushers, you just got to walk up and down and wave at people. So we got this covered. Every one of us can handle it, and we just need you to take some time out of your schedule to help us out in conducting services for you. Thank you.
And what was going on. And we did not know what was going to happen in the coming days. So Jesus tried to teach us, show us, explain to us, and prepare us for the coming crisis. Jesus already knew of the events that were unfolding, so he started to say goodbye. And he said goodbye by taking a towel in a basin and washing all of our feet, even mine and Judas' feet.
I am Thomas. I remember he said, I give you an example that you also should do as I did to you. He said goodbye to us by saying, little children, I'm with you a little while longer. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. Finally, he said, peace I give to you, not that the world gives, that I give to you. In these darkening days of Lent, let us hear these words of Christ. Let us see God's love and care shine brightly against a black Good Friday horizon that looms up in the background.
Please stand, if you're able, for our call to worship. From the east and the west,
from the north and south,
we come to dwell in God's steadfast love.
God's love heals, forgives, and welcomes all.
Please remain standing and join me in our unison prayer.
Gracious
and loving
God,
we have come to this place to be your faithful disciples. On this Lenten journey, help us grow in our faith and in our relationship with you. Open our hearts to your love. Open our eyes to the light of your Son. Open our hands to the work of your Holy Spirit. Help us share your grace and follow the ways that lead to new life. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Please remain standing and join us in our hymn of praise, number 378, Amazing Grace, found in our red hymnal.
Thank you.
Good morning. Please be seated. How are you today?
Good.
Everybody doing good?
Yeah.
You lost another tooth this week, didn't you? Did you put it under your pillow?
Yeah.
Or where does it go in your house? Under your pillow? Do you have a little box for it?
No.
You have a what?
I have a pillow to put it in.
A tooth fairy pillow. Say that three times fast. And what does the tooth fairy bring now for your tooth?
He normally brings me $1.
$1?
$1.
That's pretty good. Yeah, did you have the hiccups too? You have the hiccups too? They can be kind of silly sometimes and fun. Did you ever get the hiccups? Yeah. You get them sometimes? One time I was taking a pill that gave me the hiccups. And Leanna said, "What's going to happen Sunday morning when you take that pill?" I said, "I'm going to hiccup through my sermon." But fortunately, if I took it early enough, then I only hiccuped for an hour, and then they went away. So I took it early. That was years ago. So I quit hiccuping before church. Yeah. Hey, do you like to go into a dark room? No, I don't think you do. No. What do you do before you go in?
Get a flashlight.
Get a flashlight or?
A flashlight.
Flashlight. Turn on the light, flick the switch, right? And then the light comes on and you can see.
Yeah.
Yay! Except at nighttime, then we flick it off so we can sleep. And mom and dads go, yay!
Yeah.
Well, you know, Jesus talks about being light to the world. And you know, when you go in a room and if you flick the switch on and you can see, that's how Jesus is. So Jesus makes us see things like God sees things, like Jesus sees things. And that's really important. Not like the world sees. You know, we don't see people as bad people because Jesus looks at them and sees the good in them. I remember a story one time about somebody talking about a person not being very nice and being bad, and the other person said, "But he's a good whistler." So, you know, always look for what's good in people. Those are having the eyes that Jesus has and being the light to the world. So when you go in a room from now on and you flick the light on, I want you to remember that just like the light came on in the world so you could see, Jesus is the light that comes on in our hearts that makes us able to see as well. Let's pray. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. We pray that your light might always shine upon them and through them as they live for you. Continue, oh God, to bless them and their moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, all of those that care for them today and this week. Oh God, bless them as they bless those around them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Choir, beautiful. Please join me for our responsive reading found on page 130 in the red hymnal, Psalm number 107. O give thanks to the Lord, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever. Some wandered in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city in which to dwell.
Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them.
Then, in their trouble, they cried to the Lord, who delivered them from their distress.
And led them by a straight way, till they reached the city in which to dwell.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. The Lord turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground.
A fruitful land into a salty waste, because of the wickedness of its inhabitants.
The Lord turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water.
The Lord lets the hungry dwell there, and they establish a city in which to live.
They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield.
They multiply greatly by the blessing of the Lord, who does not let their cattle decrease.
When they are diminished and brought low, through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes.
When the Lord brings up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks,
the upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness stops its mouth. And now I'd like to invite the ushers forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings.
Though we know we do not deserve it, you love us so much that you give us precious gifts.
We tend to give gifts cautiously, to give gifts of minimal value, to give gifts from what remains after lavishing gifts on ourselves. You gave your only Son so that in believing we would have eternal life. Our gifts today seem so small, but you can multiply them through hearts that have been warmed and softened, and with them you can change the world. Change us, the givers, in the process. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. We come now to that time in our service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations among us. You'll notice on the back of our worship folder that it has Hazel in the hospital, but this Thursday morning she went on to the eternal kingdom. And said it was just about the time you were crossing into U.S. airspace. The family was going to get together Thursday and make some decisions, and I think Hazel just said, "Nope, I'm making the decisions," and she checked out. That kind of fits with her. So the family, we will want to continue to keep them in our prayers. At this time, her services are set for the Saturday before Easter. We'll have a memorial service here and a luncheon, at 1 o'clock, and receiving family about an hour ahead of time, and then take place here. Barry passed away Friday morning. His services, his visitation is today at Shirley's Funeral Home, 2 to 4, 6 to 8, and then I will be conducting Barry's funeral tomorrow at 11 a.m. Also, is it Cecilia? Sarah's aunt, she passed away last Sunday at home, surrounded by her family as well. And we've got the family to remember them as well, and they're grieving the child and her family as well in the loss of their pet. Also, Joby.
I'd like to ask prayers for a little boy who turns 7 next week. His name is Joby. A month ago, he was a perfectly healthy little boy. Last week, they diagnosed him with an extremely aggressive form of leukemia. To complicate matters, he has inherited a genetic problem that causes them not to be able to use the very aggressive chemotherapy that they normally would use, so they're having to use an alternative means. This cancer spread so fast that in that short length of time, it's through 22% of his body. They had to tell his mother last week that in 6 months, he'll either be cured or dead. So I'd like to ask for your prayers for Joby and for his family, and to do what God wills and to help them through this time. Thank you.
You'll notice in the front of our, or during our prayer time now, that the altar is open during the hymn has somehow been moved down to the final hymn. Which you're welcome to come anytime to the altar and pray. But that statement should be under this hymn, that you are welcome to come and join me at the altar as we unite our hearts, our spirits, and our voices in hymn number 504, The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
Our gracious and loving God, as we continue to journey through this season of Lent, we are mindful, O God, of the old rugged cross, that it stands for the gift of life and love. It stands, O God, for your grace and mercy. It stands for the Savior of the world, offering his life as that final, complete sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins and the sins of the whole world. O God, may we never gaze upon a cross and it not somehow cause us to reflect upon your Son, Jesus Christ. To reflect upon his life, his death, his resurrection, and the teaching, O God, of your Son. The teachings to us, even still today. O God, we are grateful for the words of Scripture and how, as we allow them to take root within our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our daily lives and living, O God, what changes these words can bring. To offer good news. To offer for us in our daily lives and living to be changed and transformed, to be made new within your presence, O God. O God, as we come this day as your servants, as your children, we know, O God, that we've not always lived according to your words. The scriptures later on in Ephesians that we will hear will speak, O God, to those lives that we have lived. But you are the one who seeks to receive us and to change and to make new all things. And so, O God, we pray that you will forgive us for the past, that we might be restored in our relationship to you and to one another, and that we might seek to live lives that are filled with grace and forgiveness. O God, continue to use us where we are, where we are planted, where our lives have taken root. May the light of Christ radiate forth from us into the lives of those individuals in need. For those, O God, who need to experience the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ and have their lives changed, O God, we pray for their salvation. For those, O God, who are experiencing the loss of loved ones, for those, O God, who need to experience your healing power and presence. For those, O God, that society pushes off to the sides, the least, the lost, the lonely, to the lost sheep, to the lost coin, to the lost son. O God, may they experience your good news. O God, for those joys and those concerns upon our hearts that cannot be made public at this time, O God, hear the prayers of your people. Work wonders in the lives, O God, of individuals. We pray for the mission and ministry of each family and individual represented here this day, for the mission and ministry, O God, of your church. May we faithfully serve our communities. May we faithfully serve people around us. Oh God, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we ask and pray. As we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Are you smelling baked potatoes, or is it just me? you're smelling baked potatoes. I've suddenly gotten very hungry. So there are baked potatoes, don't forget, downstairs, and soup downstairs as well. Yes, sir.
We have a birthday.
Who has a birthday? Who's what? June. Happy birthday. Today. How old, I'm sorry, but how old are you going to be, June? How young? Yes, you're going to be one of our older members. 90? 90. 90. I hope I age as well as you. There are many 90-year-olds who are as active and spry, as my grandmother used to say, and aunt, as June is, who's here about every Sunday and out and about enjoying life to the fullest as she can. So congratulations and happy birthday, June. <laughs> 90 years young, that indeed is a celebration. So hear these words now from the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. From chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 and all the way then, and including verse 10. You were dead through trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of our flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which God has loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, our sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Paul, his teachings to the church at Ephesus and to us this day. We pray, O God, that they might take root within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will give us a sense of rest, peace, and comfort. Comfort, O God, from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. I hate getting nickel and dimed to death. Any of you agree with me?
A dollar to death.
Well, that's also part of it as well. It just seems that we have to be careful when we are doing some comparison shopping, because what appears to be the price is not always the final price that we pay. This past January, when the word came that my uncle had passed and died, and my mom and dad and I were in communication, and I said, well, let me work on getting us flights down to Florida. And so we were going to Fort Myers, and someone said to me, well, I think Spirit Air, you know, they run some pretty good deals out of La Trobe Airport. So, you know, I checked their initial prices and was online with the ones at Pittsburgh, and indeed, they were good prices. And then I realized I had to join a club for about $70. And then after I got our tickets, then I realized that I had to pay for our seats. And then I realized I had to pay for our luggage. And so then I realized that if I wanted any snacks on the way, I had to pay for those. Well, that indeed is who we flew with, because when all was said and done, there were some additional perks and benefits of flying out of La Trobe. We did save a little bit of money, but we also saved an aggravation. We didn't have to drive into Pittsburgh. We only drove to La Trobe, and of course, the parking at La Trobe is free. And the little shuttle man was waiting for us. It was one of those 0 days. And when we pulled in, he came within steps to our car and loaded our luggage. And then when we returned, took us within steps to our car as well. However, I was a little nervous as we were sitting on the airplane and everybody was getting boarded and it was still dark out and the ice crystals were glistening on the wings of the airplane, and then they sprayed it and de-iced it and said, now shortly when we get off the ground and in the air, we will coming by through the cabin if any of you would like to buy any snacks or drinks or hot coffee or tea. And then a few minutes later, the stewardess came back on and said, oh, I'm sorry, there won't be any hot tea or coffee this morning. The water lines have froze. Why is that part of the plane that cold? What other lines in that plane are colder than they should be? Well, we made it there without any hitches and made it home as well. How many of you are eBay shoppers? Oh, come on, I've got a couple. Let's fess out. What'd you say? You are the queen? Point and quick clean queen back here. I said, that's got to be a holy humor hat. One of the most recent purchases I made was a cabinet for a sewing machine. And when it popped up on other things I might like, I started looking at other items and looking at other cabinets, and some of them were in pretty bad shape and a lot of work that was going to cause me, and this particular one was absolutely gorgeous. And it was in Bedford. And I thought, well, how far is Bedford from here? A couple hours. And I thought, I could drive and go get it and then come back. And I thought, well, wait a minute. The shipping on this particular one was only $35. And I thought, it's not worth me driving. I'm going to have to pay it shipped. But on some of those cabinets, the shipping fee was a couple $100s. And so I'm thinking, gee, they're trying to nickel and dime me to death by the shipping fees, because there's that handling fee that goes in there. Well, sometimes we have to be careful about those hidden fees and wonder indeed if someone's not trying to nickel and dime us to death. I was meeting with a family about a funeral the other day, and they were just telling me that they had one of those large pretzel containers where they had been throwing their nickels and dimes in. And it was so heavy, they got their high school son to pick it up, and I think they took it to Giant Eagle and dumped it all in. I never did that. I paid our kids to sort and count. Someone says if you go to certain banks and have an account with them, they'll do it for free. But I believe this individual said that nickel and dimes added to over $1,200. Yes, those nickels and dimes can easily add up. Well, when we look at today's scripture, it seems that we can say, well, reading this scripture, it seems as if God is gracing and mercying us to death. Maybe we read a book or a passage of scripture like Ephesians and we go, wow, are these words just too good to be true? Because we've been raised to believe that if something appears to be good, too good to be true, that it probably is too good to be true. Is there some shiny sales pitch going on in the book of Ephesians, some nickel and dime hidden fees that will hurt us later on? It seems too good to be true. Our sins are forgiven. We are renewed. We are restored. We who were once dead receive new life. Come on, David, it sounds like there's just too much mercy. Come on, David, it sounds like there's just too much grace. Can it be that God is mercy and gracing us to life? And here's the frosting on the cake. There is cake downstairs, incidentally, waiting for us. And I know some of it has frosting on it as well, because I heard one of the moms, well, let's just say there's a little bit of frosting in the parking lot. Well, that's now an upside down cake. Yes. The frosting on the cake is that all of this also comes to us free. There's nothing we need to do. There are no hoops that we need to jump over or jump through. And there are, my friends, no hidden costs to nickel and dime us. It sounds too good to be true, but oh, it's not. There are no hidden words, no hidden fees. There's only good news for us today in the scriptures from Ephesians. Oh, the passage of Ephesians, though, reminds us how difficult life can be. You were dead, Paul says. You were dead, he writes to the church at Ephesus and to us. You were dead because of your sins. You've been disobedient to the ways of God. You followed your own desires. And where did it all get you? The same place that leads everyone else. It got you nowhere. And then Paul goes on to point out all of the places where the church in Ephesus has tried to find the better way on their own. They have lived in the passions of their flesh, following the desires of their flesh and their senses, and they also have found them empty. Oh, we know what it's like. We too have chased after those things, whether it be money, position, prestige, or power, only to find out that once we get them, there's still that certain emptiness within our spirit. And they aren't all that they're cracked up to be, that they are expected to be. We aren't as satisfied as we had hoped we would be. Well, God has an answer for all of that. And that answer is the power and the presence of Jesus Christ, and he's already paid the price. The work has already been done. God is not in the business of nickel and diming us to death. Instead, God is seeking to grace us with mercy and grace in our daily lives and living all the time. And if we keep on reading in the passage of Ephesians, we learn that in today's scripture, God is not about boosting numbers. God is not about getting rich off us. Matter of fact, in today's scripture, it's not really about God. It's not a business and transaction that's important, but rather Paul says it's about what God is doing in all of this. For out of the great love with which God loves us, God offers this to us. It's a gift that's given to us with no strings attached. It's an act of love from God, and God's love changes everything. Now, last night in the middle of my sermon, this book popped into, well, the book didn't, the story popped into my head that this book is filled with a couple different modern parable stories. Has anyone ever heard of Barrington Bunny? Wow, there you go.
Yes.
And I know you read it, so. Yes. Well, Barrington Bunny, someone said, oh, maybe I've heard about it because of my kids. It's not a kid's story. It's a tragedy. It's really Christmas and Easter balled into one. Because Barrington Bunny, on Christmas, when all the other animals are gathering together with family, Barrington Bunny offers free gifts with no strings attached. Now, I'll leave it at that. I'll see if sometime between now and Good Friday, if this can't be worked in. A free gift God offers to us through Jesus Christ with no strings attached. Paul ends and concludes this section of Ephesians with these words. For we are what God has made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. You see, my friends, God is calling each and every one of us to a new way of life and living. God is not asking us to earn something, but rather God is asking that we receive something. That we receive in and through Jesus Christ, that we are being mercy and graced to life through our loving God. And may we accept the great gift of God's love by living into the rest of our life of faith, which God seeks to give to us every single day. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your words of Scripture. For the good news that we have this day, that we are being graced and mercied into new life. Continue, O God, to bless us and use us where we are found, that we might go into the world as your servants and offer the good news of Christ our Lord. For it's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand together and sing hymn number 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Gracious and loving God, send us into the world to be your church, to be your disciples, to be your servants, to be those who are filled with your grace, your mercy, your love. May we go, O God, and be Christ-like in all that we do and all that we say. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.